All right. Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Glad that you made it here. And I do just really quick before we get started, I want to take a second and just say something. And I firmly believe God is behind this. I believe it with everything I got. No more daylight savings. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody with me. If we could be united in this, no matter what you believe or where you're at with this, no more daylight savings. We could get this moved, everybody. I believe it. Unless somebody has an argument with it, then I could talk to you, okay? But like, I'm just saying. Gosh, it was hard to get up this morning for me. I don't know about you, but I'm glad you made it to the 8:15 service. Glad that you got here. Glad you're with us. And if you're watching out there online, you might be an hour, you're probably still in bed. So glad that you're sleeping and not remembering daylight savings. But I do want to welcome you. If we haven't met, my name's Andy. I'm one of the pastors. And we are in week number 2 of a series called Well Intentioned. And we're going to get to that here just in 1 minute. But I do want to bring up an update about our Easter services really quick. And so we'll pop that up there really quick. So a few weeks ago, we announced that we are having 4 services on Easter Sunday. We're having it at 8, 10, 12, and 2 o'clock. And I should have a graphic up there with a QR code. And so what we asked a few weeks ago was that all of you register for one of the services. And so, and what we asked also was that we know 12 and 2 is a little bit of a tough time during Easter, but there are a lot of you that can do that. You can make 12 and 2 work. But some of us have to come to 8 and 10, and that those services are almost full. So here's the good news, by the way. Good news is we have already over 1,000 people who signed up for an Easter service. That's great. But here's the opportunity. It's only about a third of what we are thinking is coming. So if you haven't signed up yet, I want to encourage you to sign up, register for one of the services. And again, if you can and make room, the 8 and 10 are almost full. But if you can make room for those folks who have to get somewhere, have to go to a lunch or something, and you guys are able to make 12 and 2 work, we're really asking you to do that, especially the 2 o'clock. And for the 50 of you who signed up for 2 o'clock, we are so glad that you did that. And I know people are going to get behind that. I know people are going to get there. So keep on registering, sign up, and we'll keep you updated as we go. All right. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those, get them out, and open them up to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. So here's what we're doing. As you're getting to John 8, we are talking about things that people say to maybe like encourage others about life. And it's things that kind of sound good. It even seems to be helpful. But we're seeing how that in contrast to maybe what God says, and that God maybe offers a deeper, more lasting way to live out other than that phrase and what it's saying. And it's just something that we believe God offers. It doesn't just sound good, but it actually leads to somewhere, at least a freedom, purpose, and real life. And gang, listen, this is why I think a series like this is so important for us as a church. Because listen, I don't know if you've noticed this, but our culture has like this subtle way, and the church has kind of like gone with a subtle way of like infiltrating and influencing the church. And listen, we need to be on guard, everybody, with that, because here's the thing about the world. We gotta know this, man. The world does not care too much about God's word and his wisdom. The world doesn't. And if it kind of fits with what they think, they're like, so be it. But here's what I'd know. The world does not worry about whether or not they line up with God's word or his wisdom. In fact, the world looks at people who really live for Jesus, and they look at people who really say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I mean, they actually think that kind of thing is silly. They think it's silly, and I know a lot of us don't think about it like that, but I want you to see this real quick. And this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, and he's laying out the contrast. Listen, this is a contrast that actually, because they might not tell you this to your face, but this is what the world believes. It says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. So here's the deal. Listen, everybody. A lot of people who aren't Christians, they think you're foolish for believing in Jesus. They're like, man, they've checked their brains at the door. How silly is that they believe in something like that? But I want you to notice this, that Paul says, by the way, he says, hey, listen, this is coming from people, don't forget, who are living in a way that is headed for destruction. So what he's saying is like, it's not like they found a better way to live. They're not living a better life. They're not unlocking anything great in the universe. I mean, here's the thing, everybody. Life's not really working for them, but they still say we're fools for believing in the cross. He keeps going. He says, but those who are being saved, so we who are being saved, know that it is the very power of God. And so here's what we've discovered, everybody, that there is power in God's words. that there is wisdom and there is life found there. And so we found out, here's what we found out. Listen, that the stuff that the world says is archaic or outdated or foolish, that live in God's way actually works. Can I get a good amen out there, right? It actually works. It works in our marriages. God's way works in our understanding of life. It works in the circumstances that comes everybody's way. And that there is this joy and there is this sustainability and blessing that comes from living God's way. And there, listen, everybody, there's real power there because God's behind it. It's not something we made up, but the world still thinks it's silly. But drop down to verse 25 and he says this, he finishes, he goes, this foolish plan of God, he's kind of like, this foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. And so what we're doing, and we're kind of taking this leading to the cross, we're looking at the word of God. Specifically, we're looking at what Jesus says and some stories about Jesus. We follow him to the cross and celebrate his resurrection. And we're just seeing how he invites you to consider his word, to consider his way, to bring it into your life and see that that is really what everybody is looking for on this earth. And so with that said, we're gonna look at the next thing that we believe a lot of people say. You probably hear it a lot. And it's this idea of you deserve to be happy. Hey, you deserve to be happy. You ever heard that? Anybody ever tell you that before, right? It's kind of a common phrase. Maybe you've said that before under different circumstances, but you hear that a lot of times when people are making tough decisions or like, man, there's a compromise that has to happen. It's like, I don't know. And you hear like, man, you deserve to be happy. And I bet, here's the thing. I would bet that most of us here would say, that's not a problem. Like, I want to be happy. I don't think anybody, here's the thing. I don't think anybody here is wanting to wake up and say, all right, God, on to misery. Like, nobody's doing that, right? Nobody's saying that. And so I would think that most of us would say that we want some measure of happiness. Is that okay? Like, and we'd probably think this, that God wants us to be, God wants me to be happy. And here's what I would tell you. I think he does. I actually think that God wants us to be happy as well. But here's what I want to say. See, one of the biggest cultural ideas that we have brought into Christianity, okay? And here's the subtlety. And this is unfortunately what Christians have bought into is then all of a sudden you live through this idea that, well, above all else, God wants me to be happy. And listen, we're gonna see the problem with this. We're gonna see what is up with that, how it impacts just that one little subtle phrase, hey, above all else, God wants me to be happy, right? How that impacts our relationship with God. So we're gonna first see this through a Jesus story. So we're gonna be in John 8, and here's where we are in the story, okay? Jesus is talking to a group of people and it gets broken up. And so let's see what happens. We're gonna pick this up in verse 3. It says this. It says, as Jesus was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. So they put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her, what do you say? All right, so these guys, they catch this woman in adultery, and adultery is defined by an extramarital sexual relationship with a married person, whether she was or he was, and they bring her and they say, hey, look, this is what we're gonna, and listen, I don't know if you're anything like me, but like when I read the Bible, I just stop and think sometimes about this. And so I thought about a few things in this every time I read it. First of all, where's the dude? Okay, like all this, it's like, he's just conspicuously gone, right? It's like, yoink, zack, and he zips away, right? He's not there. And here's the second thing I'm thinking. What were these guys doing to catch her in the act? Like, what were they doing? Like, you probably weren't in a place that God would want you to be if you're looking at that. And here's the thing, if I was Jesus, I would be like, hey, what were you doing, you perv, right? Like, that's what I would say. But I'm not Jesus. That's not what he said. But they bring her to Jesus. They bring her to Jesus. And here's what they say. See, when they say the law of Moses says to stone her, they were quoting the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, the religious law. And with adultery, it says that both the man and the woman should be stoned to death. So they bring her saying, hey, you're preaching about God. You're preaching the truth. So doesn't the law say that that's what we're supposed to do? Don't we have to stone her, Jesus? But here's what's also going on. See, and this is what they knew. Roman law was in there as well. And Roman law said that capital punishment was only decided by them. And so they're trying to catch Jesus because if he doesn't say to stone her, then he's saying, they're saying you're going against the word of God. But if he does say to stone her, then he's sentencing someone to death and he can get in trouble with the Roman government, which is what they want to do. So they're all looking at Jesus. They're wondering what he's going to say. And here's what Jesus says. It says, so then he stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger and they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and he said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. Okay, and then what happens in the next verse is that it says, one by one, all of them got up. When they heard that, what he said, whoever hasn't sinned, go ahead and throw. And they all leave. And then all of a sudden, there was nobody there that was left except for Jesus and this woman. And listen, she had to have been a little mixed up at this point. And so let's see what Jesus is going to say to her. Because, man, he's going to let her have it. Okay, so here's what it says. So it says, he stood up again and said to the woman, hey, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And here's what Jesus said. Neither do I, go and sin no more. Okay, so this lady gets caught doing a sinful thing. Clearly a sinful thing. And Jesus clearly agrees that it is a sinful thing because we know that because of how he addresses the crowd, right? He says, hey, anybody who hasn't sinned. So he's saying, I'm clearly saying this is a sin. But then, gang, here's what we see. He doesn't condemn her like I think a lot of us think he should, right? He doesn't condemn her, but instead, here's what Jesus does. And he shows her something that honestly, we lack at times like this. And I hate to say it, Christians are the worst offenders with this kind of stuff. Here's what he does. He shows her mercy, even though she's guilty. Then he gives her the truth, go sin no more. And so with that, here's what he does, everybody. This is what we miss with Jesus, what we miss with God. Jesus says, hey, I want to invite you into something. I'm not going to force this on you, but I want to invite you in to leave that life, leave that thing that you think will fill you up or make you happy, make you feel loved, because it is not going to bring what you think it's going to bring. So see, Jesus here was offering an alternative of what she thought would make her happy. And I think about this woman, man. I think about her. I'm sure you do too. This is a really studied verse. A lot of people read this and know this story, but I think about her a lot. And I think about how she got in this situation. And we don't know. It doesn't tell us how she got into that situation. Maybe hear that maybe it was a one-time deal. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was even something more heinous than we think it was. But here's what I do wonder. You know, I do wonder that maybe before we put a lot of distance between ourselves and this woman like we want to, that maybe we have some things in common with her more than we actually think, and maybe how that changes how we see this a bit. Because, you know, listen, everybody, maybe she wasn't so evil. Maybe she wasn't so deplorable. Maybe she was someone who knew God. She knew right and wrong. She knew what sin was. She knew this wasn't okay. But she just wasn't happy. I'm not happy. Doesn't God want me happy? I think God wants me happy. And I think he'd make me happy. He's saying the right thing. He says he loves God. Like, how could that be wrong? And then it happens, right? Just one little innocent step, and then one decision goes to another, and then she's in the middle of this train wreck in her life. And gang, listen to me, not just the adult, maybe that isn't too far away from some things that we've done as well. How'd she get there? I don't know. But here's my question. Why do so many of us find ourselves in places like that? Well, gang, listen, it's what happens when happiness is going, we're going after happiness above all else. I think a lot of us get stuck there. I think a lot of us get stuck in life because I think we end up believing a few things that trick us into thinking that happiness is the better pursuit. So if you have your notes, go ahead and get those out. I want to give us a few reasons why I believe that happiness is not the best pursuit. And here's the first reason if you want to write it down. First reason is because happiness is harder than I think. Happiness is harder than I think. So here's the deal. And I don't think everybody will believe me or not, but here's the deal. We are actually really bad predictors of what makes us happy. We really are. I know you don't believe me, but you are one of the worst predictors of what makes you happy in your life, okay? We are. I mean, here's the thing. Here, I'll give you an example. I'll give you, like, I'll prove it. So just go with me here. Think about your own life for a second. Think about your life, okay? There were things in your life that you were absolutely convinced would make you happy. You were convinced of it. Right, if I could just get into that school, or man, I just get that job, if I could just date that person, if I could just buy that house, if I could just get out of that situation, right? And here's the thing, sometimes that thing happened, and sometimes it didn't deliver like you thought it would. Can I get a good amen, right? It's true. And now let's go on the other end. Let's go on the other end. This is the one that we never think about, right? There were probably other things in your life that you're like, if this happened, it will just lead to my demise. Oh, it won't make me happy, right? Job stuff, relationship stuff, health stuff. But it turns out that those really hard times, those places that you go to that you thought would lead you to your demise, that's where God showed up the most in your life. And he gave you something, listen, better than happiness could ever bring. Can I get a good amen on that? Yeah, it's true. So listen, we're not very good at predictors at what we think actually makes us happy. Can I just at least get an agreement on that? I think that's true for all of us. So when happiness is the goal, here it is, everybody, it's a problem. It's a problem because we just saw it doesn't always lead me to the right path. And this is exactly why God says, don't go off of that. Don't go off your feelings. You can't trust your feelings. You've got to trust something more reliable than that. So it's harder than I think. Here's a second reason why it's not great. It's because it's not always as good as I think. Happiness is not always as good as I think. Again, just something to think about. I think a lot of people, if we don't think about it, Christians as well, like kind of operate around this idea of like, well, listen, if I'm not hurting anybody and it's my business, then it's okay. God loves me, I'm fine. Okay, and so what that's called right there, it's this phrase called moral relativism. That's what this is called. So it's this idea that like right and wrong is based on how we define what is good or okay and not God or any kind of bigger authority out there. But here's what, and a lot of people live this way, by the way, and a lot of people, not a lot, I think there are people who call themselves Christians that live this way as well. Like we're seeing that get established, like just do what you makes you feel good and bring God in and everything will be okay and he'll forgive you. But that's moral relativism. Because when you do this, when you throw out God, when you remove God from what truth is, then here's what you remove, everybody. You remove an authority that is always true, always and everywhere. You remove that authority. And then here's what happens, everybody. Truth is defined by whatever makes me happy. Man, that sounds great. That sounds really good. And everybody, listen, that is not how we want to roll. That is not how we want to roll. Because I guarantee you that some of the things that would make me happy would make things absolutely miserable for you, all right? And it would bring utter chaos if everybody lived that way. Just think about it. I mean, for me, there'd be no stoplights because I don't like them. They don't make me happy. I don't like sitting at a stoplight, so I'm just not gonna pay attention to them anymore because green means happy, red means anger, okay? And it means rage. And so then there'd be wrecks all over the place if everybody lived like I did. That's just an example, right? And so happiness, listen, everybody, happiness is hard to understand than I think, and it's not always as good as I think it is. Now, before you leave here thinking that God wants us to be miserable, that's absolutely not true either, okay? That is not true. I firmly believe that God wants us to be happy, but it's just not the goal. It's just not the goal. So let me put it like this, and I think I have it in your notes, and then I'll talk about it. Here's the goal. See, God, he does delight in my happiness, but it's not his highest priority. I hope that makes sense. It makes sense. And here's the thing. If you're a parent, that absolutely makes sense, right, everybody? Like, you get that right away. Because here's the thing. Like, when I think about my kids, like, I want my kids to be happy. Like, when they are happy, I feel happy. I'm like, man, look at them being happy. Yay. Like, I have this weird feeling, right? And it makes me happy to see it. But it's not my highest priority. Because here's the thing. If they are setting forest fires and being happy, or if they're like, hey, let's blow that house up, that sounds fun, then their happiness is not my highest priority anymore, everybody, okay? You get what I'm saying? All right, they've never done either of those. Just wanna make sure that I say that really quick. I was using like crazy examples. But everybody, listen to me. That's what a lot of us do with God. That's what a lot of us do with God. We think God should be happy for us no matter what we do, even though we're setting fires and blowing up houses, and those are metaphors, but I think they work. I think they absolutely work. So listen to me. God doesn't want us to pursue him to get happiness. God wants us to pursue him to get him, everybody. And God does want to bless you. I believe that, and I've experienced that. But here's what I want to do to finish up this morning. I want to just give you a few guardrails to get us to a happy place with God. And so the way that I put this is like, God wants me happy, and then I have accept. So I have two exceptions with why God and how God wants me to be happy. If you want to write these down. So God wants me happy except when I do wrong or unwise things to get it. Okay? So here's what God says to anyone who is living for Jesus, anyone who is redeemed and saved and forgiven by the cross of Jesus and made right with him through the forgiveness of their sins. Here's what he says. This is in 1 Peter 1:15. It says this. It says, be whole, or but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I'm holy. Okay, now I want to leave this up here for a second, because here, this is huge for us to understand, everybody. See, for those of us who are in Christ, and I'm guessing it's the bulk of this room, for those of us who are Christians, God says to you, you are holy. You're holy as you sit. Because of what Jesus did for you, and here's the thing, you're now set apart. Hey, you're different. So because you're set apart, because you're holy, because you're different, here's what he's saying, everybody. I want you to get it. Don't just be happy in all you do. No, I have something better. Be holy in all that you do. But see, when we believe, and this is what trips up so many Christians, when we believe that God just wants me to be happy, though, man, God just wants me to be happy, then we end up doing things that are wrong or unwise because our pursuit isn't God anymore. It's our happiness. And then here's what happens. This is what happens, everybody. Then it overrides our actual belief system. It's not like we change our belief. It overrides our belief system. And then it empowers us to do what we don't want to do, which is to do what God doesn't want us to do. And then we justify it because we believe, well, God just wants me to be happy. So, hey, he understands. Let me give you a few examples that happens in Christianity. Yeah, I know watching pornography isn't okay, but my needs aren't being met. It meets my needs. It makes me feel what I'm looking for. I know divorce isn't the right way, but man, we're just not happy. I know I'm called to forgive, but man, I think I'd be happier holding on to that anger just a little bit longer, right? I know what God says about sex outside of marriage. We love each other. God wants us to be happy. And listen, everybody, this is why this is so easy to do, because gang, the stuff that I just rattled off is the norm in our culture. There is nothing wrong with what I just said to the world. They're like, why would that be wrong? Everything's fine with that. Nothing wrong with that, because happiness is the pursuit of the world. And here's the thing, gang. Listen, I want you to understand. Please come with me. I get it. Like, if I didn't know Jesus, I would probably have the same thought too, but I do know Jesus. You do know Jesus, and we know a better way. Amen, everybody? We know, and he doesn't want you to be happy when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise, just as he who has called you holy, Be that. It's a higher call. It's a happier call, everybody. Here's a second one. He also wants to be happy, except when it's only based on things of this world. When it's only based on the things of this world. So, I think people who are most miserable, isn't that a good lead in, everybody? Right? Everybody's like, ooh, let me hear that. I think people who are most miserable in life are like that, because they think happiness comes from more. I just believe it. Man, if I just got more whatever, like more possessions, more pleasures, more position, more recognition, more things, if I just get more stuff, man, I'd be happier. And everybody listen, why a lot of us do that is because we don't know any other way to go. Like, the world doesn't know any other way to go, but there is another way to go. Listen to this invitation. Love this invitation. John, who I would say was he said he was the closest to Jesus. We don't know, but he said he was. Real humble guy. But anyways, here's what he said. And just consider this compared to what the world says. Just think about this. This is what John says. So don't love this world, nor the things that it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. The world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements. And it also offers us possessions. And these are not from the Father, but they are from this world. And this world is fading away. It's gonna be gone. It's gonna be fading away along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. And so here's the problem with just looking at things in this world. Why no one can be really happy with just the things of this world is because they're counterfeits to the real thing, everybody. All that, everything you see, all this stuff that you think, boy, look at that Harley or whatever, it's a counterfeit to the real thing, no matter what you think it is. And we get fooled. We get fooled, listen, to go after the created rather than the creator. And we'll always find ourselves with fleeting happiness if we do that. It's just true. It's just true. And here's the good news, everybody. See, Jesus invites us into something different. Doesn't he, everybody? He invites us into something more sustainable. He invites us into something better than the pursuit of happiness. And this is the best news ever. It's an invitation for all of us, every single one. I don't think it's wrong to go after happiness. I don't think it's wrong to do that. But what matters is how we define it. What matters is how we define it. But here's the danger that can happen. Here's the danger that can happen if we don't see it with the right lens. I think so many people walk away from God for the wrong reason. I really do. They'll say things like, man, I tried the church thing. I tried that. It didn't really work. It didn't make me any happier. Hey, I tried religion and I even tried a Ridge group. I tried reading the Bible for a while and I'm still struggling. I still have cancer. My kids are still nuts. I'm not any better off financially. I tried religion and it didn't work. See, but here's the thing, everybody. If you believe that God exists to make you happy and then you're not happy, see, it forces you to believe that God failed, but he didn't fail. It was your perspective that was off. See, that's what failed. You started with the wrong presumption, and it takes us to a very dangerous place. Because without knowing it, see, if you're like that, then you're living like God exists to serve you instead of seeing God for who he really is, instead of worshiping him for what he's done. And that's just so dangerous. And Jesus is inviting you into a different way to live. So here's what we do. This is what we do. This is the answer. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Fix your eyes on him. Everything else is gonna go away. So fix your eyes on what lasts forever, not earthly things. Jesus says, I came to give you life and I came to give it abundantly if you follow me. And what you get is me. And that's enough. Amen, everybody, that's enough. There's one reason why we should think about this. One reason, just to go all in with this. You know why? Because God is better. God's better. That's why I stand up here. I'm not doing this because I don't believe in this. God is better. I don't know what else to say. He just is. It's not even close. It's not even close. And the pursuit becomes, I get Jesus. I get Jesus. Not I want to be happy. It's just better. Some of us need to lower our expectations of earth and raise them above. And look to what actually matters. Truth is, you know this. No new car, no like new wife, no new baby, no bill of health will give you the thing your heart craves. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for showing us grace with the truth. I need grace so bad. Thank you for showing us mercy with the cross. Thank you for that message that sin has an answer, sin has a response, that we don't walk in condemnation, but we can walk changed in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus. I pray we can get to a place where we can just admit that we do go after things that try to make us happy, that we think will make us happy, and a lot of times they leave us empty, God. And I just pray that, so awesome, that you just keep inviting us. You keep inviting us into your mercy, into your love, into your forgiveness. I pray for some of us right now in this moment, some of us need to turn to you, and we do need to ask you to forgive us for pursuing some of these things that we thought would fill us up, that we thought would be better than you. And so I pray right now, the call is clear. God, forgive me for that. And you will forgive us. You will restore us. You will make us whole again, because that's what your promise is forever. And we believe your wisdom is better. Your truth is better. That living for you is better, and it can never replace what this world offers. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for making all this possible. And we pray all this in your name. And we all say this together. Come on, everybody. Amen. Amen. Hey, praise God for all of you. Don't forget to sign up for an Easter service. If you guys are coming here, if you'd like prayer, we're up here to pray for you. And we'll see you next Sunday.